We'll just spend a few moments this morning with a verse, famous words in St. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 1, and here in verse 21, the words of the angel to Joseph: "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Three famous shalls. And we know that in that verse here, we have some glorious promises from God. Promises that he will be our God and we shall be his people by salvation. Well, these three famous shalls, wills, definites, absolutes, they were going to come true. They were true. She shall bring forth a son. And secondly, he shall call his name Jesus, Saviour. And thirdly, the great shall save his people from all their sins. Three most glorious shalls. Let's just explore this for just a short while here this morning. First of all, she shall bring forth a son. Well, of course, that was a prophecy. It was an immediate prophecy because within a year or so, this prophecy was going to come true. It was to be brought about in a very short time. But of course, this promise was of old. She shall bring forth a son, way back in the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of the history of the world. It was told to Adam and Eve as they sinned against the Lord God in the way that you know happened. And of course, they were going to be punished for their sin, because physical death would come upon them. But then also alongside that was the great promise of the Saviour, that it would be of the woman's seed. She, perhaps Eve, even thought that the very first child that she brought forth would be the answer to the promise. But that wasn't quite the answer. And we know that many generations had to pass before the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a son into this world. But that's the age of the prophecy. Thou shalt bring forth a son. And it was promised to Adam and Eve, the parents of our human race, that such a thing should happen. And then, of course, all through the Old Testament, there was Abraham, called from heathenism to follow God and to believe his promise. Three great promises given to Abraham, that he should be the father of a great nation, of multitudes of people, as the sand upon the seashore, but also he should inherit the land of Israel in time to come after the people came out of Egypt. But then also the third part of the glorious promise, that through him and through his descendants there would be blessing for the whole world, that through him all the nations will be blessed. Again, the promise of the son that would be brought into this world, even given to Abraham. And then, of course, Jacob was told that it would be through his son Judah. It would be Judah of all the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob, that would bring forth the son in his generation. And then later David given wonderful promises as he sought to build a house for the Lord. And the Lord said, not you, but your son will build the temple there in Jerusalem. But of your family and of your generations and your descendants to come, there was going to become one who would set up an everlasting kingdom, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So then given to him, even more specifically to Isaiah, 800 years before the Lord was born. For you, Israel, would bring forth a son, for unto you is born a son. Oh, a son is given, and unto him will the government be given of his people. Wonderful promises to Isaiah. And Micah is told 600 years before the coming of the Saviour that he would be born in Bethlehem. Oh, these are all the predictions of the Old Testament through the prophets, that a son would be born, and she shall bring forth a son. It shall happen. It was definite. In fact, of course, this was something that was planned before this world was ever made, that the Lord Jesus Christ should come into this world and be a saviour to all those that would put their trust in him and would repent of their sin. Wonderful, wonderful prediction that a son would be born, also of a virgin, Isaiah tells us through the Lord's word, so that he might be pure and unique and be the one that could save us. You know, there was a famous Archbishop of Canterbury in the Middle Ages, said something very remarkable, and it always comes to mind, to my mind, on these occasions. The four ways in which human beings are produced. First of all, Adam. He was created by God without a woman and without a man, created of the dust of the earth. And then there was also the human being created just of the man, as Eve was created from the side of Adam. And then, since, of course, human procreation by a man and by a woman has come the whole human race. But God reserved for himself just one other way in which a human being could be produced. And of course, that was by the woman without the man. So we have the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That reserved way in which the Son of God came into this world. Incarnation, the second person of the glorious Trinity, becoming a man, taking on upon himself a human body and a human soul in which he would save his people from their sins. So gloriously, the Lord shall, we read here, she shall bring forth a son. It was always God's intention, and now it was to be fulfilled. And this fulfillment, friends, is all our hope. It's all our hope of salvation. If we did not read this sentence in the scripture, she shall bring forth a son, then we would be lost in our sin, under the condemnation of God. So this is all our hope, and we're glad that this shall is here in the scripture and in history. And God brought it about that on this glorious day that we remember now, he came into the world. She brought forth a son, laid him in a manger. No room in the inn. We know the facts so well. She brought forth a son. Joseph was only the guardian. He was not the human father of this one. He was born of the virgin. And she delivered that child in Bethlehem. And the shepherds came quickly to view that one. And later in the house, the wise men. Wow, this is glorious. She shall bring forth a son. And then secondly, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call. This is another shall. It was so important. You shall call his name Jesus. We know the meaning of the name Jesus, Saviour. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew was Joshua. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it is Jesus. It means the same. Saviour, Deliverer, Wonderful. You shall call his name Jesus. It's what the angel says to Joseph at this time. You shall call his name this. Well, there is no other earthly name would suit him. Of course not. He is the Saviour. He is the Deliverer. You remember Joshua of old delivered the people out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And this one, the true Saviour, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, then in history. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Deliverer of us into heaven's glory. That promised land for all those that love the Saviour and follow him and trust him in their hearts. He is indeed the Saviour. That is his name. Even the youngsters, we sing together. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. Well, Jesus the Saviour. Only he has the power to save us. Only he has the perfect life that can be the substitute for all our wickedness and all our sin. He is the one who's willing and came into this world as a volunteer to substitute his life and his death for the likes of us, that we might be set free from our sin. His death only could do it. His death only, he only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. The Saviour, only by his perfect life and his atoning death, that death that was a payment, this one who was the way, the truth and the life, only by him can we reach the Father and glory. He is the rescuer, he is the Saviour, the Deliverer. Oh, he shall be called Jesus, a name to be loved by all his people. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. A name to be wondered at. A Saviour. God, the Saviour. We wonder at it because it's grace. Because we do not deserve such a thing. because we do not deserve that he should come and deal with our lives, our sinful lives, and make us right in his sight and bring us to glory. And so as we think of him as the Saviour, we think of grace and we are amazed. Of course, it is his name. It is a name which is above every name, a name to which everyone will bow down, and even unbelievers after death shall bow before him and acknowledge that he is indeed God, God who is true and cannot lie, but they will be punished forever because they did not trust him in this life. But his is a name which is above every name. His is a name to be taken very carefully upon our lips, the name of Jesus, Saviour, Jesus Christ. We mention it very, very carefully. His is a name filled with purpose. Why did he come? Why did he enter this world? Why was he born there, a babe, in Bethlehem? Well, all for purpose, to save us. We see it by his name. He is the Saviour. So his life was full of purpose and determination. From the moment he grew up, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to the cross, to die in the place of his people. He loved me and gave himself for me. So his name is a name filled with purpose and determination. His is the name of a heavenly friend, or that we should call the friendship of this one who is the Saviour. His is the name of spiritual reality, a name which is unlike any other name in this world, a name which is all our hope. Saviour, Saviour, come and save my soul. The name of our prophet, the one that tells us all that we need to know of our God and of ourselves so that we might find forgiveness. The name of the priest that offers himself as a sacrifice on the cross that we might be forgiven. The name of a king, the name of a king that would rule over our hearts by his precious word and rule over us and reign over us so that we might delight to do his will and to keep his commandments, to show that we love him and go to glory at last. He shall be called Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. His name is Jesus, Saviour. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. And then thirdly, we have here, well, he certainly shall save his people from their sins. It shall happen. Heaven will be full because this has happened. Oh, friends, you think of someone who comes from no belief in God, no real care for their souls, no insight into the sin and offence that they have against God, and God comes to them and he begins to awaken them to see their sin and to convict them of their sin, and they begin to believe in him, they begin to trust in him, they begin to sorrow over their sin, and at last they come repenting of their sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the salvation. And then they're born again of the Spirit of God. Their lives are changed. They are those that are completely different to what they were before. They have new desires, new aspirations, new worship in their heart, new love for the Saviour and for the Lord's people. They're born again of the Spirit of God, and God recognises them in heaven as right in his sight. He saved them, forgiven them all their sin, and they come to him and know his blessing. And then you know what it is to be in that situation. You're saved and you're assured. You know what it is to trust in him. You know what it is to feel his presence and his blessing. And so the Lord helps us. Oh, friends, do you see it? He shall save his people from their sins. He shall do it. And they shall know what it is to be blessed in his presence. Oh, friends, this is a certainty for all those that will come and trust in him. This is a great measure of assurance for each of us, and this gives us encouragement to hope in the Lord. He shall save his people from their sins. There is no doubt of it that any humble sinner coming and repenting of their sin, sorrowing over their sin and turning away from that old life, they will know. They will know the blessing of God. They shall be saved as they come repenting of their sin and entrusting their lives to the Saviour, yielding up their lives completely and absolutely. Then they will know what it is to be saved. Why Why is it? Why is it that any sinner is saved? Why is it that it happens? Why is there such a thing as Christian conversion? Why is it that people are radically changed as they come to this gospel of love and of mercy? Why? Because of these words. He shall save his people from their sins. There can be no doubt about it. As the Lord Jesus Christ died in agony upon the cross, as he died suffering the penalty of his people's sins, there he actually saved them. There it was that he died in their place. There it was that he suffered all that was necessary for them to be forgiven and go to heaven's glory. He shall save his people from their sins. For this Son, the shall was to do with his life. By his life, he shall save his people. How are we to get to heaven except we have a pure and spotless life? We can never live such a life ourselves. And so the Lord Jesus Christ imputes his very righteousness, his very pure life to those who will come and trust in him. And of course, he shall save them from their sins by his death, by being that substitute, by paying the penalty that we deserve for all eternity in hell. He does this, and by our trust in him and by the working of the Spirit within our hearts, we can know what it is to be saved. Why are we saved? Because he shall do it. He has done it, and he has blotted out our sins, and he has cancelled the sin that was in our lives. And we are those that know what it is and experience to have our sin taken from us and cast as far as the east is from the west and remembered no more. Wonderful, marvellous that this one should do this. He shall save these people from their sins. Oh, friends, this is wonderful. This is a glorious thing. He has done it. And we wonder at such a thing. Three great shalls that we have here. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, I hope you have a happy day today, family, friends, and in your own heart. And we're blessed with many things that many other folk in the world do not enjoy. But all, friends, in the midst of it all, let's remember these three great promises from God. She shall bring forth a son. She shall call his name Jesus, Saviour. And he shall save his people from their sins. May the Lord bless us. Let's seek him in prayer together. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we wonder at these things, but oh Lord, we believe them and we trust in them. And Lord, they are all our salvation. And may each one of us come to thee, even now, to know thy blessing and thy help. And oh Lord, that we might know what it is, even to cry out to this Saviour today, and to know his blessing and forgiveness and that everlasting life that he grants to all those that yield up their lives to him. We ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 227. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. 227.